Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the KEI Industries Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder to all, participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Dani from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Renju. Good afternoon, everyone. We are pleased to host the senior management team of KEI Industries today. We have with us Mr. Anil Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director of the company, and Mr. Rajeev Gupta, CFO of the company. We'll start the call with initial remarks from the management, followed by Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for taking out time for this conference call. I'm Anil Gupta, Chairman and Managing Director of the company. I'll give a brief about the performance of Q1. In Q1 of financial year 2022-2023, the company has achieved a net sales of 1,565.41 crore against rupees 1,017.56 crore in the same quarter last financial year. The growth in net sales is 53.84%. EBITDA in this quarter is rupees 163.16 crore. This has led to a growth of 40.05% compared to previous quarter of the last year. EBITDA/net sales margin is 10.42% as against 11.45% in the same period previous year. Profit after tax this quarter is rupees 103.76 crore against rupees 67.12 crore. Growth in the profit after tax is 54.59%. PAT/net sales margin has improved to 6.63% from 6.6% last year same period. The total sale, okay, domestic sale and international sale through the B2B is around 49% of the total sales. Domestic institutional cable sale of high tension and low tension cable is 472 crore in the first quarter against rupees 414 crore last year. Growth is approximately 14.06%. However, the domestic institutional cable sale of extra high voltage cable is rupees 100 crore in the first quarter against rupees 29 crore in the previous year same period. Export sale of the cable in this quarter is rupees 247 crore against rupees 93 crore. The growth in the export sale is approximately 167%. The sales through distribution network, which is B2C, was rupees 652 crore in the first quarter against rupees 387 crore in the last year same quarter. The growth is approximately 68%. We are continuously in the process of strengthening our dealer/distribution network. The total active working dealer of the company as on 30th June 2022 was 1,800. The distribution sales through distribution network contributed approximately 42% in the first quarter against 38% in the last quarter, last year same period. Sales EPC sale, engineering project, procurement, construction, project sale other than cable is rupees 84 crore. Here rupees 86 crore, almost flat. Out of the total sales of EPC, the extra high voltage EPC is 36 crore in this total 84 crore sale. The sales of stainless steel wire in the Q1 of FY 2021 is rupees 61 crore against rupees 48 crore same period last year. growth is approximately 26%. Pending order as on 23rd July 2022 is approximately 2,741 crore, and besides that, we are L1 in another 229 crore worth of orders, which are expected shortly. In this 2,741 crore, the EPC orders are 878 crore, which is basically Nepal ADB funded project and Gambia World Bank funded project. Extra high voltage cable projects is 353 crores. The domestic cable orders pending are 1,428 crore, and export orders of cables are 82 crore. The 42% sale which the company is doing through KEI retail network or distribution network, we do not add up any orders to the order book, because these orders come and executed from the stocks or executed within a week to 15 days. So we do not add them into the pending order. The India Rating and Research Analysis Research has upgraded and assigned INDAA/stable rating to long-term bank facilities from INDAA- and reaffirmed the INDAA1+ rating to short-term bank facilities and commercial papers availed by the company. The book value of the company per equity share is ₹248.62 as on 30th June 2022, as against ₹236.98 as on March 31, 2022. The total borrowing, including channel finance, as on 30th June is ₹88 crore. Total borrowing is ₹101 crore, and cash and bank balances of ₹172 crore as on 30th June 2022, as against total borrowing of ₹331 crore and cash bank balances of ₹360 crore as on 31st March 2022. Acceptance creditors as on 30th June is ₹103 crore, as against ₹299 crore as on 31st March 2022. So the net debt including acceptances of LC has reduced to ₹32 crore as on 30th June, as against ₹270 crore as on 31st March 2022, and ₹336 crore as on 30th June 2021. During this quarter, finance cost has decreased to ₹9.23 crore as against ₹11.42 crore previous year same period. Percentage of the financial charges on net sales has decreased this period to 0.59% from 1.12%. So the company has used operating cash flows for cash purchases, resulting into reduction of trade payables, acceptances, and substantially by ₹195 crore. As future outlook, as communicated earlier, working capital of approximately ₹100 crore is expected to be released during financial year 22-23 from EPC data retention money, which will be used for increased sale of B2B and B2C sales of the company, and as well as the capex requirement of the current financial year. So the company will be having sufficient cash flow to meet its working capital and growth requirements in the future. We are aiming of increasing the sales through the distribution network by approximately 30-35% this year, so as to achieve a projected 16-17% overall turnover growth in this financial year. The capacity utilized during Q1 financial year to 22-23, 78% cable in cable division, 65% in house wire division, and 80% in stainless steel wire division. So company has already had capacity in place to achieve growth for the next financial year. By the time new capacity will also be available. The company expects to have a capex of approximately capital expenditure of approximately rupees 200 crore to 250 crore for next 3 years to maintain a CAGR growth of 17% to 18% per annum, as against achieved CAGR of 15% during last 15 years. The industry outlook. We see a strong growth in the infrastructure segment, especially from power generation through solar and wind and other energy sources, transmission and distribution, and industrial sector like steel, aluminium, cement, fertilizer, and refinery expansions, which are underway at the moment. And also the government emphasis on infrastructure development projects such as National Infrastructure Pipeline in important areas such as energy, railway, metros, construction, road and highways, building projects, hospitals, ports and airports, and modernization, among others. Increasing government attention and funding support for rural and railway electrification projects, and higher and more efficient transmission and distribution infrastructure is also attracting good demand for underground cables. So this is a commentary from a management side. You are requested to raise any queries. We'll be happy to answer the same. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Naval from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. A couple of questions. First, you stated in your opening remarks that target is for 30-35% distribution expansion. And this number for revenue to achieve that 16-17% revenue growth is for consolidated, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes.
And, sir, because if I look at, you had guided for 16-17% revenue growth at the end of June also in one of your media interview. And since then, commodity prices have seen a sharp correction. So you still see this number achievable because of the strong volume growth outlook?
Yes, we still feel that this number are achievable.
Because we are having sufficient order book position now.
Okay, understood. Second, in terms of the land parcel acquisition, Rajivji, last time you had stated that almost 35% of the total land parcel has been kind of acquired. Can you give some update on that? What is the status and progress over there?
It will take further more, one and a half months more to acquire the full land, because these are the agricultural land, they are taking some time. But we are in the process, and definitely we will do expenditure in this financial year. Capital expenditure.
And there is no delay because of this one and a half months delay on capacity expansion out?
No, that, because in these kind of projects, 1 to 3 month delay is not the delay. But for the capacity expansion, Anilji has taken a step further ahead, because in our Silvassa plant, we are putting a low tension power cable facility there, where our house wire unit is there, so that for the coming financial year and the last quarter of this financial year, the growth momentum can be maintained from there itself. So we are taking care for the growth of 17-18% in the next financial year also.
Understood. And on the balance sheet, as you rightly stated on retention money recovery and other aspects which have been benefiting you on working capital aspect. So the current net debt number of 1Q, is that fair to assume that should be the ongoing run rate going forward as well, because cash generation will be enough for capex as well as working capital increment?
Yes, that's right. We are already having the 170 crore plus fixed deposit in our account. So whatever capex requirement, that fund has already been accumulated. So there will not be any further requirement from any loan or etc. Loan has already been nil. That the working capital loan has already repaid full. Only the 13 crore term loan is outstanding, which will be repaid in the next 3 quarters. So by March 23, all the term loan will also be repaid, because this is external commercial borrowing, so we cannot pay it early. That is why it is there in the books.
Got it. And sir, lastly, if you can repeat your order book breakup, I missed a couple of numbers there.
Order book number is 2,700, just a minute. It is 2,741 crore, in which EPC order book is 878 crore. And extra high voltage power cable order book is 353 crore, and cable low tension, high tension and other cable domestic order from institution is 1,428 crore rupees, and export order of cable is close to 82 crore rupees. Apart from this, extra high voltage power cable, we are L1 in 229 crore order book. So if we include this, then it will be closer to 3,000 crore order book.
Got it. Thank you so much and wish you all the best. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Parin Gala from Sage One. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, the export number for NC is that 193 crores, you know, and YOY it's a very large growth. So is not just the cyclicality and the last quarter being COVID affected and the numbers were lower, or this was a steady level, or something one-off has happened in exports?
No, it is not on the quarterly number we should assume anything. Sometimes the order is to be deliverable in a particular quarter, so we have to deliver in this quarter itself. But normally the composition of the exports will be 10 to 12% of the total balance, total profit loss.
So we expect a total export of, on the full year basis, of between 700 to 750 crores.
Okay. So is it order book based or this generally, or even on a spot basis like we do sell it?
It's order book based.
Okay. And sir, lastly again, the capex number which you mentioned of 200 to 250 crore, this will be over and above the greenfield investment which will happen, right? Of about 600-700 crore which was mentioned earlier. Is my understanding correct?
In the new project, which we are going to be happening in the Gujarat region, wherein we are acquiring the land, there the investment size on a per annum basis will be 200 to 250 crore for next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. 800. Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from Incred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations for a decent set of numbers. Sir, a few questions from my side. Firstly, you know, your peers, Havells, you know, when we talk about Polycap, they saw some kind of destocking during the quarter. Could you share your own experience between, you know, across your cable and wire segments? What was the experience with KEI? How did the channel behave? What is the channel inventory right now? And, you know, copper obviously last 2 weeks has bounced back again by 10%. How do you see second quarter, third quarter panning out in terms of demand? That's my first question.
Yeah, Rahulji, thank you for that. First of all, copper is always fluctuating. Sometimes it is more fluctuating, sometimes little bit in the range bound fluctuation. So last year there was the full year which was increasing. Now again it has come to the situation where its copper will increase or decrease in a particular quarter. So it will increase also, it will decrease also. So this momentum we are seeing in last so many years, so we are used to it. With regard to the destocking in the channel, sometimes people are worried about the more of the copper very going down. So sometimes they are holding the position for 8-10 days. So it will not impact much because everybody has the inventory of 15 days, each dealer distributor. So they are playing with that inventory, and by that time the price is stable, then they are again start buying.
Rahulji, you are right that some destocking has taken place, and because it is very natural when the prices are unstable to the and going down, naturally anybody will not stock. They will take the material whatever is immediately needed by the actual customer. So, we have not seen a very big impact of this in the first quarter, but we are trying to revise and adjust the list prices as soon as possible so that the sales are maintained.
Got it. So to understand it correctly, the channel inventory right now should be pretty low and it should see a pickup in second quarter. Is that the way to understand?
Yes, it should be. It should be very low.
Okay, got it, sir. But we couldn't see, your numbers have not really fluctuated in the first quarter. It's been very stable for KEI. So that is why I was wondering, that destocking didn't really impact KEI versus, the other players actually reported a lot of degrowth. Any specific reason for this?
See, the companies who are very heavy in retail, I think they are impacted more like Havells or Polycab. I mean, we are also now going heavy on retail, so maybe in future we may face the same problem, but at the moment we have not faced.
But Rahul ji, kisi ka bhi impact nahi hua na, sabhi ka growth aaya hai, dekho na. This is not the case where they have not grown. They have also grown in the first quarter.
Yeah, sir, sure, I understand where you're coming from. So I'll move ahead to my second question. On the CapEx, I think, sir, I just need a recap on the entire broader CapEx. This 200-250 crores per year, we are broadly talking about 800 crores of CapEx in total for the project. Between that, could you help me break down, what is the land cost and what is going to be the, construction plus the machine cost? Just to get a clear opinion, how much is maintenance CapEx for the company every year and how much is Baroda CapEx, in total? And you spend obviously 200-250 every year, but if you could help me understand the project cost better, it will really help.
So our maintenance capex in our company is hardly 20-25 crore in a year. That is number one. The project cost for the new project cost is will be decided only once the land is fully acquired, because it will construction cost will depend the how many acre we have acquired actually. So, but overall in our industry the capex ratio is 1:5. So we want to create a 4,500 crore sale from there, so that we are envisaging investment of 800 crore over there. Put together all, the land cost will not be more than 50 to 60 crore. Because it's agricultural land, so land cost is less amount.
Got it, sir. That really helps. Could you help me with your volume growth number for cable and wire segment for this quarter? The revenue growth was 61%. How much was volume?
For volume growth, for the metal has grown by 27%. Aluminium and copper put together.
This is YOY, right?
Yeah, YOY.
And you talk about aluminium copper consumption for first quarter?
Correct. First quarter, yes.
Okay, got it. And sir, lastly, just a follow-up on exports. So as you said, we were targeting 10-12%. This quarter number looks high, and 700-750 crores for the full year, as Anilji said. Yes. Overall, are we, how does the pipeline look like? Is there anything happening, from certain geography where we could see something like a Dangote happening again, where we could see a very large number, or it's right now pretty steady state?
No, nothing of sort of Dangote happening now. So it will be the sale export to our regular and stable customers.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Got it. All the best, and I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Rahul.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Tanush Mehta from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So firstly, congratulations on decent set of
numbers. Yeah, Tanush, little bit loud, please.
Firstly, congratulations on a decent set of numbers. Sir, I have a couple of questions. The first question is, sir, do we have some kind of hedging policy in our wires and cables business on overall company level?
No, we are not hedging. We are under natural hedge, as we have communicated earlier also, because we are having 3 to 4 months pending order position from the domestic institution side, and close to 2 to 2.5 months we are carrying inventory in our shop floors. So that is under natural hedge actually.
Okay. So my second question is that, you know, when we see a business between the dealer and the institution part, how difficult or easy, or, you know, how do you define the lag in which a price increase can be passed on in both the cases? Or is it, or the price increases at the same time?
See, in the price, in case of B2B sale, whenever we are making an offer to anybody, it is based on the current prices and also the forward-looking outlook, that what do we perceive as the price situation in the during the validity period of the offer. Maybe if the validity period is 1 week or 15 days. In case of utilities, whenever we are making tender, 80 to 90% tenders are on the price variation basis, and only 10-15-20% are on firm prices basis. So that much of inventories we are always carrying. So the validity periods normally we are maintaining within 15 days to 1 month. So far as distribution network is concerned, I think every in case of cables, we are adjusting the prices on every 2 weeks basis, fortnightly basis, and so is the houseware and flexible.
Okay, and so just a last question. So we've seen a lot of traction in the renewable sector that's catching a lot of pace, and a lot of power companies and etc. putting up good money there. So actually, what is the, how much content of wires and cables or maybe, from our order book, how much of our sales are we seeing there, or is there any inquiry coming from that end, or what is the potential from that sector?
We are having substantial sale to all the solar power developers who are setting up the projects, either to them directly or through the EPC contractors who are constructing their projects. So I can't give you immediately any numbers that how much is out of solar, but we can take it out and send it to you later. But at the moment, I cannot tell you exact number, but the sales to solar companies are substantial.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and good luck for the coming quarters. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshay Kothari from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. So what would be our channel finance as a percentage of retail sales currently, with recourse and without recourse collectively?
Almost 60-65% is under channel finance.
Okay. And from, I'm assuming that our with recourse has come down, because without recourse has increased, I guess.
Yes. So now the limit was set up with the banks, wherein they are recourse of in one bank is 50%, in another is 30%, in few bank it is 100%. So as a whole, recourse will be close to 60% on an average.
Okay. And what could be the percentage of RMC, like copper, aluminium, and can you give the breakup if possible?
No, it depends on the order to order actually, because sometimes the copper order is more, sometimes the aluminium order is more. Like in this quarter, we consumed around 18,196 aluminium and copper, out of which copper was 7,700, aluminium was 10,400 metric ton.
Okay, that's great. And so this release of 100 crore working capital, when is it expected, in which quarter?
No, in the whole financial year.
Okay, no. And sir, lastly, on the retail revenue growth side, we have seen that there has been significant jump in the retail, and our focus is on B2C. So, how has this journey been, and what were the triggers, and how could we go? Is it only because of our distributorship increase, and what were the steps which we had taken? And going forward, how do we plan to grow this? You have given a guidance of 30% to 35%. How do we plan to grow this?
It is a whole mix of strategy when you want to grow some, section or vertical of the business. It includes, an efficient marketing team close to the region and stocking points where you can deliver fast. Then business development activity, who are sensors or specifiers in that area, so that our teams are connected to them, who are doing prescription of cables in their tender documents or whosoever is buying it. Dealer is only a front. So ultimately, a whole lot of business development activity has to be carried out to enable them to sell. So it is a complete strategy and management of the dealers and the prevailing surrounding to enable the sale.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks. That's it from us.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sanjay Dam from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, did I hear right? You gave a guidance of 17-18% kind of top-line growth. In the context of lower commodity prices, is that correct?
Yes, sir. कोशिश तो वही रहेगी संजय जी.
Right. No, I just thought I'll confirm. Thank you.
नहीं सर और ज़्यादा कोशिश करेंगे थोड़ा volume और बढ़ेगा so that maintains the 17-18% growth.
So the second question that brings me to the second question is that what would be a reasonable aspiration to have in terms of market share gain in say the next 2-3 years? Probably you could put it in the context of the last 2-3 years.
The market share continuously, definitely in the houseware segment, we were very small player. Now we have reached to the level of 6-6.5% market share. And the unorganized sector, the market share is shrinking year on year basis. Every year, 1.5 to 2% market share of unorganized sector is shrinking. Apart from this, the small companies, those who are in the range of 300 to 500 crore companies, small companies, few are listed, few are unlisted. They are also struggling with the working capital, and they are not having that kind of management bandwidth with that KEI is having. So because of all these factors, wherein now KEI is having sufficient working capital, we have reduced the debt. So we are more focusing on the increasing the market share year on year basis. In last 15 years, our growth of the company is close to 15%, wherein all ups and down in the market was there. So in future, next 5 years time, we have taken a target, we should grow at least 17-18% CAGR. So when, because earlier growth was with the EPC, now we are reducing the EPC and we are growing in the same fashion. So it is mainly because of the wire and cable segment, the market share we are able to take.
And if I look at your commentary for the last 2-3 years, you all have outlined your retail strategy, and things have worked out quite well. Could you give us some sense of how the next 3-4 years is going to be? So from a base perspective, I understand it won't be probably that difficult, but how do you kind of like to would you be more concentrating on the larger urban areas, or you would like to kind of spread more in proportion to how your geographical presence is, and if you could give some sense on that.
Yeah, definitely, we are putting our best efforts to increase our geographical footprint, because when we, target the larger area of delivery, the sales comes from, white spaces where we were not present. So that gives you, extra revenue without, stressing a particular market. So definitely we are taking all steps for improving the sales in the existing areas where we are strong by putting more business development activity, and also in the areas where we were not present or we were weak. So we are strengthening our geographical footprint.
And as Anilia mentioned, that the 30-35% growth, at least for 3 years from here, we will be looking from the dealer distributor segment. So that kind of guidelines we have set in, that kind of infrastructure and the manpower we are engaging to grow that kind of growth from the dealer distributor market.
Yes, the context actually from which I was coming is that the larger centers and larger, tier one cities, and the next maybe 25 or 50 cities, and the next 100 towns, they have some sort of a differentiated profile of buyers, right? And as you go deeper into the hinterland, the nature of distributors and the clients, both of them change, right? So they could be larger in number, but maybe lower ticket size. And so having traveled, quite a reasonably successful journey so far, do you think that, your next leg of journey in the retail, strategy would be any different from what you've done in the last 7-8 years?
Sir, if we say that the top cities, still we are not covered fully. At least for 2-2.5 years, we will be covering those cities first, because that's why we are targeting a 30-35% growth in the coming 3 years' time. Apart from that, then we will be focusing to the rural part or the town side of the country.
So do you find yourself
to do, because at present we are having only 1800 dealer distributors. We have to double these dealer distributor strength in next 3 years time.
So when you double that, would you say that the top 50 cities and towns in this country have the bandwidth of doubling your distributor base whatever time frame it takes?
Sir, we are working on the number at one side. Second side, we are working on the geography to be covered. Then we will be covering the rural sector. So it is at least 3 years away in our strategy to covering the rural segment.
But your doubling of distributors would kind of take how much time?
Yeah, within 3 years. So because of that, we are saying that at least 30-35% growth we will be maintaining year-on-year basis.
Sure. I'll come back in the queue.
Sure, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Srinidhi Karlekar from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Opportunity and congratulations on great performance. Sir, you gave a good guidance on revenue growth for this year as well as medium term. Would it be possible to share some guidance on margin for this year as well as medium term?
The margin in our industry, in our company, we are close to 10.5 to 11% range bound we are there. Last year also, in spite of so much volatility, we were able to close our margin close to 10.5%. This year also, we will be in the range bound, 10.5 to 11% range.
Okay. And sir, isn't retail contributing more to your overall business mix should support margins in medium term, or it's unlikely to happen?
Please repeat your question because something we have missed.
Yeah, I was just wondering, your contribution from the retail segment is increasing. So just wondering, can't that help you in doing better margin than what you have done in the past?
No, it is already helping us, but the volatility of the material, which was sharp since last 1 year, whether it is upward or whether it is downward. So in that case, it is certain things it is not manageable. But if these situations does not arise and the normal fluctuation are there, then definitely the margin will be much more. Because
okay,
already our expenses versus sales percentage has already come down.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, we are hopeful that the margin will not be difficult to maintain.
Okay. But isn't like there should be like, as the volatility kind of reduces, is there a scope to do higher than 10.5% and 11% margin band?
Definitely.
Okay, great. And sir, second is on the EHV segment opportunity. I just want to know how large is the Indian EHV cable market and how much of that demand is actually served by the import of the cables?
EHV market at the moment, I believe, is close to 3,000 crore a year. And so far as import, I think imports are continuously, vanishing now. I mean, because up to the highest level of voltage grade, like up to 400 kV, we are manufacturing and we have executed the projects. We are focusing that no utility should import the cables. I mean, if some import is coming up in some package or some overall project constitution, that may be there, but we are not really aware of. We are really focusing that it should be done by Indian manufacturers.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, there are two players in the Indian domestic market, right, who services EHV demand. Is that right?
Yeah, no, apart from us, it is a Universal Cable who is significantly working on this. But another one player is more like LS Cable, etc., who are also doing EHV cables, which is a Korean company, set up a factory in India.
Okay. And this 3,000 crore odd compares with about 500 crores what KEI did last year, right?
Okay. No, but actually, last year the market size was less. Now the markets are consistently growing. The demand is demand from the transmission utilities.
Understood. And sir, how much are utilization levels in the EHV cable segment?
We are almost utilizing, 80 to 90% capacity. But we are having some space by debottlenecking, so we will be able to grow by another 20-25% from here on.
Okay. And the last bit on this, again on EHV, sir, is this business about 3-4 percentage point higher margin business than your portfolio margins of 10.5-11%?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. And the last one, if I may, so we have seen very strong performance on working capital, particularly on receivable days. And if I remember correctly, in the last call, you had mentioned a scope to improve working receivable days by about 15 days. Just wondering, are receivable days likely to improve much what you guided above of 15 days?
Yeah, receivable days will be close to 2.4 to 2.5 months. As compared last year, it was 2.9 months, and before that it was 3.8 months. So in March 22, it has come down to 2.9 months. So on an average for the current financial year, it will be closer to 2.4 to 2.5 months.
Okay, sir. My question, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions for all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Bobby Jayaraman from Falcon. Please go ahead.
Hello. Could you explain what the 103 crores of acceptances is?
Yes, these are the LCS acceptances.
From your export customers?
No, it is for the purchase.
Import.
Import.
Okay, the imports for your copper and your raw material.
Yes.
Okay.
This is part of the creditor.
Okay, and how long is that for usually?
It is normally 90 to 120 days creditor.
And you have to pay an interest on this?
Yeah, it is the interest bearing. It is 5 to 6% interest per annum.
So why do you then take this?
Pardon?
So why don't you avoid these interest charges by paying earlier?
No, because we are avoiding while we are purchasing from the local market. We have converted into the cash purchase now. Since these are the import purchase, so we have to open the LC.
Okay, so they'll reduce going forward.
Yeah, we have already reduced earlier. In 1920s, the LC purchase was more than 800, 900 crore rupees. Now it has further reduced to now only 100 crore rupees. As of March 22, it was close to 300 crore rupees.
That's right.
Now it has reduced to 100 crore rupees only. So we are opening the LC only for import. We are not opening LC for the domestic purchase now.
Right, the domestic is all cash.
Yes, all cash we have converted because we have sufficient cash in it.
And the other question is, how long is your dealership, aggressive rollout of the dealership network going to continue for?
Please repeat your question.
How long is the aggressive rollout of your dealership network going to continue till such time that it stabilizes after that?
So we already have an aggressive rollout of dealer network. Ultimately, dealership also comes along with our marketing teams to make efforts on the business development activity and bringing dealers on board, where we can help them to grab the orders.
I know, I understand that. What I'm asking is right now your rollout is very fast, right? It's a pretty aggressive rollout. At some point, there will be saturation of the dealership network.
Maybe in after 2-3 years, there may be a stability or a saturation. But at the moment, we don't see that. And with the excessive... strong growth of the Indian economy, the demand will also be going up and strengthening. So and more people are coming into businesses across India. We'll also get to know more markets, maybe in the semi-urban markets or rural markets. So it's difficult to predict that what will be the saturation point in this.
But at least for next 4 to 5 years, we will be growing number of dealer distributor at least by 10%. At least for 5 years.
10% per year.
Yeah, 10 to 12%.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amber Singhania from Nippon Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for taking my question and congratulations on relatively good set of numbers. Sir, one thing I wanted to understand, as you mentioned that you are aiming around 17-18% kind of growth. We all have seen that commodity has corrected significantly in last couple of months. So that would require a significantly higher volume growth of upwards of 35% plus to achieve this kind of growth numbers. So what is giving you the confidence of such a high volume growth is achievable in this scenario where we are already seeing some slowdown from the offtake?
We perceive that there is a good infrastructure pipeline and projects and a good inquiry flow from our customers of, I mean, different project verticals. So that gives us the confidence. And normally we never over-project, we have never over-projected our, what we say, and we'll try to achieve what we say. Rest, the year end will tell us.
Mm-hmm. And sir, if you can give some color about the demand scenario currently, are we seeing any deferment or delay in the demand coming in from B2B and all, assuming the prices may come down further?
No. We are not seeing any deferment of demand. In fact, with the commodity prices correction, the demand is coming back to the on the table. So, in fact, the demand has become stronger.
How much prices we have reduced, sir, from the peak in last couple of months?
I think around 10 to 12%.
10 to 12%. Okay. And lastly,
for your information, in 1819 and 1920 was the year where the commodity price has gone down, but we have grown by more than 20% year-on-year basis.
Okay. Okay, fine, sir. And lastly, on the margin front, you mentioned that you are still will be maintaining the margin of last year, 10.5 to 11%. But on a falling commodity prices, when we are seeing the realization is coming down, but a bit of per ton may remain constant. So logically, the margin should go up. How exactly we work on the margin part? Are we purely focusing on the percentage terms or per quarter and EBITDA?
We are mainly focusing on percentage terms.
Okay. So in that case, sir, even in the falling commodity prices, our per ton EBITDA comes down.
See, margin, whatever will come definitely. But what we are working is for the 10.5 to 11%. So this means in each and every adverse circumstances also, we need to keep in the cross, and we are working for that. Whatever we are quoting on that basis only. But something or other in every year is also happening. So for that reason also, we need to guide properly to you. Because we don't know what other things will come in the market.
Understood, sir. So what I'm trying to understand here is that with this current kind of correction in the commodity prices, almost 20 to 30% from the peak, is it possible for margins to go significantly higher, let's say 12.5-13% kind of range?
Not at all.
It won't. Okay. No. Fine, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, Ambali.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, due to time constraints, please restrict yourself to one question. Next question is from the line of Santosh Kumar Kesari from Kesari Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello. Come here.
Hello, yes, sir.
Yeah. I just had one question. Looking at the financials for the last 10 years, I can see that our interest burden has come down. Earlier, we used to pay something like 100 plus crore of interest. Now we are paying just 40 crore a year. So, and what I can see is the dividend that we are paying to shareholders, that appears to be measly, if I can term it that way. Like it used to be 10%, 12% way back in 2013. And since then, it has never crossed 10% except in 1 year. And I can see that our borrowings are now mostly paid off, and there is some capex requirement. And as you said earlier, that the capex to sales ratio is 1:5. So I have two questions on this. One is that are we looking at increasing the dividend payout to shareholders or buyback? One. Secondly, you are guiding about capex in terms of 1:5 sales ratio. What is the payback period for this capex in terms of profitability?
So normally the payback period is close to 5 years. because as per industry norms, 1:5 or 1:6 is the sale versus capex ratio. So we are going to invest around 800 crore worth of rupee. So we can take the top line of 4,500 crore plus from this investment. Second, with regard to dividend, so we have already paid in the month of March. So whatever will be the cash flow and the capex position, we will decide only in the fourth quarter. But definitely the payout will be more as compared to last year, because now our borrowing has gone down. But still we will be more focusing on the growth of the company, wherein more number of increase in EPS you may see in our balance sheet.
And will be the more focused that if we are strengthening the balance sheet, that the capital appreciation also goes up, improves to the shareholders.
Yeah, that's right, sir. But rewarding the shareholder in terms of bonus issue or dividend or buyback actually makes them a little better off, because they get to
definitely
have some cash.
After the second quarter, we will be reviewing this, and definitely whatever your advice and suggestion, we will be discussing internally in our board.
Thank you. We request you to turn to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Next question is from the line of Bhavin Pandey from Trust Plutus Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a decent set of numbers. So I have just one question. So as we are witnessing that, you know, proportion of sales, why are the distributors has gone up, right, north of 40% now as compared to 38% in the previous quarter? So I'm just wondering, like in long run, how much do we expect this proportion to be? And can you just throw some light on economics of going through this approach? Is it more asset light? Is it more margin lucrative? Is it more convenient? Thank you.
Distribution, as you said, that 10 to 12% year on year basis, the number is increasing because we are appointing new distributor, or we are converting the weak dealer distributor to the good one. So that is the restructuring of the dealer distributor network is going on. We are focusing on to increase the sale of the existing distributor dealer network as well as for the new dealer distributor network.
No, your question was basically that it has the sales through distribution network has gone up from 38% to 42%. It is because of the increased focus of, and geographical advancement by where we were not present, by appointing distributors in those territories so that our footprint in untapped areas grows. And from there, the scale is improving.
So within 2 years' time, we have taken the target to reach 50% contribution through the dealer distributor network. That is also our mission.
Thank you. We may request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, as there are many participants waiting for their turn. We'll take the last question from the line of Khadija Mantri from Sher Khan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Congratulations on the set of numbers. I just had one question. Was there any price hike taken in Q1 in the month of April and May? And are we looking for any price cuts in the next few quarters?
The price revision are done either up or reduce the prices based on the input costs. So because of some corrections in the input costs, I think cable prices have already been corrected in last 2 months, and now it is levelized. And regarding houseware and flexible, also I think the prices have been reduced around to the level of 8 to 9% in last one and a half month. and it has been corrected in line with the present copper price. So we don't see any immediate revision in prices in next 1 month.
Thank you. We have reached the end of question and answer session due to time constraints. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, thank you very much, the investors and colleagues, for attending, taking out time for this investor conference. I hope that we have been able to satisfy you with our answers. But if still you have any queries, you may reach us back, and we'll definitely give you clarifications. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to all.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.